Amazing worship. I love our church. I love this place. I've been in this place for about 11 years. That means I'm actually doing a return into preaching after 11 years. I don't know you. I don't know if you know my story, but I am standing here as a man transformed, and God has done an amazing miracle. And then I was so surprised God gave me this same word that I have to speak to you, because of a life transformed is what I'm actually speaking of. And I am standing here and preaching to you as a man whose life has been transformed. I've played bass in this church for a long time, standing there thinking, God, my life looks a bit messed up. On the outside, it does not look like what I thought it would look like. But you know, sometimes when we trust God and we trust the process, and we turn up to church, turn up to God's presence, on the outside, it might look like it's not happening. But I tell you what, God's got His purpose sorted. We just got to trust Him, turn up. So I just want to thank God for what He has done in my life, that I could come here and preach and declare what He has done in my life. I was 28 when I was actually last preaching, and I'm in 2 days I'm turning 39. I'm getting old, guys. I'm getting old. But I'll tell you what, I'm bolder and stronger in God because I can come and declare His name and the things that He has done in my life. I have better stories now to tell than what I was preaching back in the days. So thank you, Jesus, for everything that we go through. Hey, I want to start off by saying we all have stuff. We all have problems. And before that, I just want to thank Pastor Alex and Jessen. Stupid me. The first person that I should thank. They're such amazing pastors. I'm going to take this opportunity representing you guys. Thank you for what you do to us. You have made a big difference in this place, and you make us feel like we are a community, that we are a family, and you are beyond your age. The way you speak, oh my gosh. I don't know why you asked me to speak, because I could listen to you every week. Can we give it up to our pastors? Thank you. Hey, I was just saying that we all have troubles. We all have situations. Doesn't matter what color you are, black, white, yellow, purple. Doesn't matter what kind of job you're doing. Could be a CEO, could be an entrepreneur, could be an influencer. You could have the tick of approval on Instagram to say that you're verified. But we all have situations and problems in our lives. You agree? And I'm here to speak about a guy in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who had a situation or a problem. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Let me read you from verse 1 onwards. Hey, if you're on Zoom, turn with us as well. You know what? I actually really like, once Pastor Alex came here and he kept saying, "Where is your leather-bound Bible?" I went in and bought a Bible that I can write notes. And I really love that I actually turned my Bible these days, and I'm like, whoa, there's some great notes that I've been able to take. So today, I might not be saying something great, but God is there. He's going to speak to you. So jog it down, because that's going to help you at some point. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 onwards, I'm going to read from 1 to 3. Now Naaman, commander of the army of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. Can I just mention, victory is not through us. It's through God. The Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. But, say but. We all have buts. But a leper. And the Syrian had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, which means she was working for Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only," can you say if only? "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Woo! If only. You know, Naaman, this man that the Bible's talking about, is from Syria, a country that does not know God at all. This was a period of time when Israel was a weak country, where they were getting raided all the time. And Naaman was a guy who was actually not a normal guy. He's not a normal guy. He had a big status in his country. He was a commander-in-chief. That means when he says go, people would go. When he says stop, people would stop. He was a man who had a voice. He had a status. He was strong. He was courageous. He was fearless. He was mighty. He was influential. All Naaman had to do was walk on the streets, and the ladies would look at him going, "Whoa, this man is strong." You know, the Bible usually talks about kings and queens, but here he's talking about a chief commander. This guy did not get his respect just because of his title. He's king of, he is the head of army. That means he's worked out hard. He's actually earned his respect. Side note, respect is actually gain. Sorry, it's not just like, you know, just because who you are, you get it. You get it because you've got stuff in you that you can actually show for. And Naaman was one of those guys that he had respect because on the outer, he had something that was so strong and so big. The Bible calls him, he was a man of valor. That means that when he actually stands up and goes to war, that there is people worrying and trembling on the other side because this man was strong. You know, I just like to ask the question. On the outside, how many of us, you know, look like we've got it all together? That we just turn up to church and we got a smile in our face and we're working hard, we're putting the chairs together at time and we're pouring the coffees, we're saying hello to people, or even just coming here and showing that we've got it all together. But here, Naaman, but you know what's funny? It is funny because we've got two eyes, two hands, two legs, 10 fingers, but we've got one butt. Everyone has a butt. While I say that physically, it is true because we have situations in our life, the butts of our life. But Naaman was a leper. You know, I don't know if you know about leprosy. Leprosy is a skin disease, that actually incurable skin disease. Back in the days, if you had leprosy, that you are actually thrown away from society and you're put in compounds so that you can live by yourself, because nobody wants to be with you, because it is one of those diseases that would just slowly eat out. Your pigmentation changes, it starts eating you up, that, you know, your fingers would fall, you would have this odor that, you know, nobody wants to be next to you because you're smelly, and then it's something, it's not something that you want to have. Think about it that way. Back in the days, they didn't have those ointments that they can put so that you can actually get better. So think about the stress that Naaman would have had to go on. On the outside, he was actually a great warrior, but on the inside, he had to go home and realize he's got this situation that in his life that is killing him slowly. It's killing him slowly. The stress of having to hide that is even bigger than that. He has a real disease in his life. Sometimes us, the things that we have inside, the insecurities that we have inside, that we have to deal with, seems to be killing us because we have to show to the world that we've got it all together. Agree? Hey, but this is not just, you know, your problem. It's my problem. It's everyone's problem. We all have stuff. And I want to give you a perspective of the young slave girl that the Bible talks about. That young slave girl, Naaman went into Israel and he captures this slave girl. And in other translations it says that she was a little girl, brought him to Syria. Not only that, she's captive now, away from her family. She has to work for the same guy who actually caught her and brought her. Isn't it crazy that sometimes your situations are like not the way you think it is? But you know, this slave girl, she did not worry about, I'm sure she worried, but she didn't let her circumstance or her current situation not introduce someone else to the God that she believes. She's saying, hey, if only my master would go and see this prophet in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. You know, there's a big difference between who you know and who you know of. If you know Christ, then you're not going to let your situation dictate. You're not going to let the situation dictate how you respond, because you know that you have confidence in God, because that girl had confidence in God that she said, hey, no matter what my situation is, I'm going to point you to Jesus, because you will be healed, because the God that I believe, I know he can heal you. Wow, amazing. Amazing. You know, there was the commonality between Naaman and that little girl was that both of them were captive. One was captive to the disease. The other one was captive in reality. This leads to my first point. Don't let your circumstance define your trust in God. Don't let your circumstance define the trust in God. Because the God you believe is actually bigger than the problem that you are facing. If you look to the problem will always look big. If you look to God, you know, yes, my situation's big, but I believe in a God who is bigger. You getting something out of this? You all look stunned. I don't know. You know, is it because of the mask? Because now I realize why Pastor Alex was saying, speak with your eyebrows. I'm just joking. God's doing a great thing. All right, let's just keep reading. Let's go to verse 9 onwards. It says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha sent a messenger, even though he actually traveled all the way to meet Elisha. Elisha didn't even meet him. He sends his messenger. And he says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. This is the river Jordan that it's talking about. And your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Here again it comes. But. Everybody say but. Uh-oh. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, Lord his God, and wave his hands at the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" Here's the crazy part. He goes, "So he turned and went away in a rage." Whoo! I hope you got what it's saying here, that he had a preconceived idea of what God's blessing is meant to be. He had a preconceived idea of how his leprosy is going to be healed. He's so offended that the guy that he went, traveled, if you just read a few verses before that, it says that he took gold, silver, and so many other things, which means it amounts to about 1.2 million in current day's value, that he took everything that he has earned and he has worked for and traveled with a preconceived idea thinking, hey, this is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. I know God's going to heal me, yes, because the girl said, but this is how it's going to happen. Sometimes the pastor is actually sending someone else to pray for you when you have a situation and you're getting offended. Because the pastor didn't come. I'm preaching hard today, but sometimes we have these ideas of how God's meant to do things to us the way we want it. And we are so disappointed. Can you see that Naaman actually wanted to be healed? And he traveled all the way to another country. And he goes, what? He wants me to actually get healed just by dipping in this river that's called Jordan? He does not understand what Jordan, that river, stands for. You know, this river Jordan is meant to be one of the most filthiest rivers. If you travel to Israel, I haven't, but I've heard of. My dad actually was he really admires Israel. A trip that he went, and he said it was his greatest joy that he could, the team that he went with him, that he could actually baptize them in that river Jordan. Because that's the same river that Jesus got baptized. It's the same river that actually was parted when the Israelites actually knew that there was nowhere to go and the Egyptians were chasing them. And he goes, what? This guy wants me to go into this river that is dirty and dip myself? When I know that, you know, does he know who I am? Sometimes we're like, does God know who I am? The things that I've done for him? I'm turning up to church every week. I'm on team. And even, I'm not on a team on the platform. I'm on a team that's at the front door. Or I'm on a team that's doing something else, looking after kids. You know the sacrifice that I make, but you want me to go and do something so simple? You know, if you keep looking for the messenger, you might sometimes miss the message. That brings to my next point. Don't miss your blessing because God is not doing it your way. Don't miss your blessing just because you had an idea how God was meant to do it and you haven't received it that way. Is God speaking to you today? Yeah. Don't miss your blessing just because you have an idea how God is meant to do it. I'm speaking to some single people here. Don't miss your blessing because you have preconceived ideas. I'm speaking to someone who's going through financial problems. Don't miss it because you have preconceived ideas of how God's meant to bless you. Let's just read verse 13. And it says, and his servants came near and spoke to him. So he was with servants who was traveling with him. They came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Had he told you to go and do something so great that you would have been above your capability, would you have not done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean? Simple instructions. Simple instructions. Here, I just want to ask you a question. Who are you listening in your deepest moments? Who is around you that you are listening to or who can speak to your life that you are not going to miss that blessing that God has for you? I'm just going to do a shameless plug here. My wife Laura and I oversee connect groups in this place. We have amazing connect groups in this place. Plug yourself into a connect group. It's not just a social gathering that we just, gather together just so that we can have good times. It's also a place where we actually create real relationships. That when you are in a situation like this, that you have incurable disease like Naaman, or situations in your life that actually is killing you on the inside, but you are still yet ready to walk out because it's not your way. And then there is someone who is not even worthy is saying, hey, we just need a few people who can say, hey. And you are not going to find that out there, I can tell you. You might be looking for people out there to actually help you, but I can tell you, God has placed people around you. Look around, because God has placed people around you, because these are the people that you should be connecting, because they're the people who is going to care for your situation and care for you. When I read that, what I understand, that yes, God wanted to heal his leprosy, but God is there to do a bigger thing than that. First, when God wants you to heal you on the outside, he has to first deal with the inside. You cannot have sin inside and have the healing on the outside, because God is not in the business of just healing you on the outside. He just cares about your soul so much. He needs to deal with your stuff on the inside. Then if he deals with the stuff on the inside, then he knows that you will be all good on the outside. Because God did not die. Jesus did not die so that you will have eternal life in this world. He died so that you will have eternal life in heaven with him. So Naaman, come on, clap. If you're going to clap, like Pastor Al says, give it to God. God's trying to deal with him. He's trying to say, hey, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Yes, you have all these credentials. Isn't it crazy that he's a chief of commander of an army and then he has to listen to the maid first in his house? Then he has to go to another country where there's a prophet in a country that is hated. They hate him because he comes and always raids them. And then he goes to Elisha's house and Elisha doesn't even want to meet him. He sends a messenger. And then at the end he's also told to go and dip himself in a river that's full of dirty water. Humble yourself. This brings to my next point. Humility is the doorway to your healing. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. Then he says, and will heal their land. God cannot heal your situation if he hasn't dealt with the inside, the sin that you're carrying, the sin that you and I carry. If he doesn't deal with that, that we don't humble ourselves, turn from the wicked ways, that God cannot, there is no point in him just healing us on the outside, because God works inside out and not outside in. To my last point, verse 14, it says, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like a flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I don't know if it raises a question in your head, why 7? Why 7 times? Why not once? Why is God weak that he can't do something just in one go? 7 times. You know, number 6 represents man. Man's effort. When you get to the extreme of man's effort, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but that's where it stops. You got to that point where you can't do it yourself anymore. Then when you hand it over to God, the 7th time, number 7, represents completion. It is completed through him. And you know what I like? That you got to trust the process. You got to trust the process. You got to turn up every week. You got to turn up to God's presence. Yes, you know, Naaman would have gone down first time, come up, looked up, and gone, wow, I still got the spots. Great. I don't even know this God, and I'm trusting. He would have gone the 2nd time. Came up, looked at his arms, looked at his body, still got the spots. He would have gone 3rd time, 4th time, 5th time. That Naaman knew that if he trusts the process, if he trusts what God asked him to do, day in, day out, even though, you know, sometimes God does not like give you 10% increase, 20% increase, 30% increase, then to the 100. Like, he's not actually working his way up. God can heal you instantly. God can change your situation instantly. But we got to trust the process. We just got to turn up to his presence day in, day out. Wake up in the morning, go for a walk and pray to God and say, hey God, I need you to intervene in this situation. If you're not a morning person, doesn't matter. You have the whole 24 hours. Find a time. Go in front of God. Go trust the process. If you do something, if you continue to do, the healing on the outside might not look like it's happening. Every time he was going down and coming up, God was dealing on the inside that he couldn't even see. That's why sometimes, you know, people could have crazy problems and still could walk out with a smile. You know why? Because God is doing something on the inside. When God is doing something on the inside, your outside does not matter, because you know in time God will heal that problem. In time that He will solve that situation that I'm really stressed off. In time, my financial problem will be sorted. In time, I will meet the right person that I could marry. In time, my marriage will be fixed. But everything could only happen if we just listen to God and just keep doing what He's asking us to do. You know, this story, like I said, is not about Naaman's healing. Even though we think it's about Naaman's healing. On verse 15, this is what Naaman's saying. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all earth except in Israel. What's crazy, sometimes when you read this story, we just stop at the place where he got healed. We stop where he got healed and we say, hey, Naaman had a leprosy and he got healed. And the reason why I actually titled this message, My Situation is God's Opportunity, is because of this. I just want to say that your problem always has a purpose. Your problem always has a purpose. You know that little slave girl that I was talking earlier? That she got captive from Israel and brought to Syria so that Naaman would find God, the real Messiah. The God of Israel. The God who is above all other gods. And the crazy thing, I'll tell you what. The reason why Naaman had a top job, that he was the commander-in-chief, because it goes on to say that Naaman built an altar in Syria and worshipped God. That through him, people of Syria, Naaman's leprosy was a doorway for the Syrians to know that the God of Israel is a living God and He can change situations. Come on, give it up to God. I don't know what you are going through today, but I can tell you something, that on the outside it might look like it is crazy. It's not changing. It's been 30 years and I'm still like this. But I can tell you that God has a purpose, and His purpose is not just to heal you on the outside. That little girl who was actually captured, she was captured for a reason. Imagine that she was not captured. Syria wouldn't have known there was a living God. Can I ask you this morning, what is your situation? What is your situation that's actually weighing you down? That's killing you every time you go on Instagram? Do you find, ooh, that's hurting me? Or when you go to work and you go, ooh, everyone's doing great. Everyone's doing better than me. That's hurting me. Whatever your situation is, I just want to say this morning that we serve a God who's mighty and powerful. He is bigger than your problem. He's bigger than the solutions that the world brings you. He's bigger than your therapist. I'm not saying that God will not use those, you know, humanly created aids or help. When I said aids, don't. You know, whatever that world tells you that you can go and fix, first turn to God. When you turn to God, He can change you inside out, so that not only you, people around you will find what a mighty God we stand. What a mighty God we actually serve. Can I ask, can we just raise to our feet? Remember, your circumstance does not define your trust in God. Don't let your circumstance define the trust you have in God. Have trust in God. Don't miss your blessing because God is not doing it your way. And humility, humbleness, getting rid of what your title is, what your status is, what you are doing to God, but coming in front of God bare, because He can do His thing. And always know your problem has a purpose. Your problem has a purpose. Your problem has a purpose. Your situation is God's opportunity to do something in your life.